My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
All my smell test picks coming up in about 25 minutes. Denton and I will have our final score predictions on Sunday's game at the end of the show. Ben Standing is with us, as he is every Monday and Friday at 12 noon, as our Washington Football Franchise Commanders insider on this program. At Ben Standing on Twitter, he writes for The Athletic. You should subscribe. And, of course, Ben's got a podcast called Last Man Standing. You can find that anywhere you get a podcast. So, I am going to ask you for your final score prediction in the opener every week. But today I'll also ask you for your final record prediction. But we'll save that. We'll tease that. That'll be coming up at the end. Who's going to play? Who isn't? It looks like Marcus Mariota's out Sunday.
It would appear that way. 2 days in a row, he has not been out there. The interesting thing is here, like, you know, obviously he missed the last few weeks of preseason and practices because of this groin injury. So when he first popped up on the injury report, this league was limited. I didn't kind of think too much about it, but then realized, oh, wait a minute, this is a designation of a chest injury. And so it was limited Wednesday, out yesterday and today. So I'm guessing it's something that happened in Wednesday's practice. I don't know to what degree, but I would assume at this point, yeah, if he hasn't, you know, typically, and this is one of the things we'll learn about Dan Quinn, typically a guy who doesn't practice on Friday outside of, like, the most, you know, needed player is probably out. So, yeah, it's not going to surprise me if Jeff Driscoll is technically the number 2 quarterback with Mariota inactive.
Who else? Is Johnny Newton out Sunday? Who else is missing Sunday? Let's see if we can reestablish rather than catching every third or fourth word. He's obviously driving, probably out to Ashburn. So, Denton, you want to get
you guys hear me?
Up? Yeah. Let's see. We have you back now. Go ahead.
I'm here. Yeah. Sorry about that.
Perfect. Yeah, that's all right.
I am driving to Ashburn. The plan for Johnny Newton this week was do some practicing Wednesday, kind of a rest day yesterday, and then see how he feels today from his recovery. So we'll see from Dan. We talked to Dan Quinn after practices on Friday, so we'll get a sense from him. It's not going to surprise me if he doesn't play, considering he hasn't been out there at all, you know, for weeks. So this is not something they need to rush him back for. Obviously, they're a little bit thinner now at tackle because they traded away John Ridgeway, but they also have a couple vets on the practice squad that they can probably plug and play in for a week or so. So I would guess Newton's not going to play, but we'll see. Maybe he's proves that he's good to go and they're optimistic. I think Brandon Coleman will be active. Whether he starts, that's to be determined. You know, again, another guy that missed most of the training camp and preseason. He missed all of preseason. He has been able to practice the last few days, but I don't know. I mean, in talking to some veteran linemen, you know, who've gone through this over the years, you know, especially as rookies at some point, they were like, you know, hey, it's pretty tough to come in that cold and go in, you know, in your first game being you know, the first game you actually are doing any work in. So I don't know if Coleman will be starting, but I would guess he'll be active at a minimum.
I'm sure you've done this probably with other people on the beat. I mean, it's kind of crazy to talk about the back few players of the roster, but do you have your inactive list already formulated? Who won't play Sunday?
Yeah, I was trying to play around with this in my head. So, right, so if we're saying, let's just say Mariota and Newton are out. I mean, they've got seven wide receivers. Are they all going to go? You know, Noah Brown's only been here for a week. I didn't think he would be playing a ton. Maybe he's the guy you sit. On the other hand, you know, they kept Byron Pringle and Jamison Crowder mainly for returning. Do they think, oh, well, you know, let's maybe 1 week we can get away without Pringle and use, you know, like a Noah Igbinoghi or someone like that to return. You know, we figure there's nine offensive linemen. One is probably going to sit. If Coleman is up, then I'm going to guess that maybe it's Trent Scott with Chris Paul able to play guard and tackle.
We'll see it when it comes out Sunday. I knew you had a list.
I just wanted to
make sure that you actually had put together your list.
I thought about it, yes.
Yeah, I'm sure you have. Now, what you brought up there is interesting, and that is who ends up being the primary punt returner and who ends up being back there because you need two of them on kickoff returns. Although, if last night's an indication, we may see a lot of what we saw last year anyway, which is go ahead, start at the 30. We don't want you returning the football. So I'm assuming it's Crowder on punt returns, right?
Yeah, I would feel that that's the case because, I mean, in fact, to your point, the punt returner will be getting action one way or the other. The kick return is another story. You know, I get why they kept Pringle for a variety of reasons. He can also help them as a perimeter receiver. But, you know, that was before they added Noah Brown. So if you're going to activate Brown, you know, this is where, you know, they had a bunch of different guys returning kicks this summer. Igbinoghi, Sanders still was back there, you know, even like Austin Ekeler. So, you know, they've got some other options. You could even, I guess, put Crowder back there, at a minimum. So, you know, they have some other options. So, yeah, that may be a
maybe.
Right. I mean, so they can figure out a few things there to get by, and that just may be a spot where, you know, you have to do, you can't keep everybody up.
Okay. You wrote a story that came out this morning titled, "What I'm Seeing from the Washington Commanders, Cliff Kingsbury Has Big Task and Other Observations." And you write in your opening paragraph, "All eyes will be on Jaden Daniels this season, and rightfully so. His offensive coordinator, Cliff Kingsbury, must be on top of his game for the Washington Commanders offense to exceed expectations." You and I have talked about this on the air and off of it. We both feel this is a huge spot for Cliff Kingsbury to make this thing easy and make it work with Jaden Daniels in this offense. So tell me how you think he makes it work and whether or not you think he will succeed in that.
Yeah, I mean, I just think for some teams, the talent is such that you don't need to, like, you know, game plan it to the nth degree to figure out ways to get them open. It's more like get the ball to the in Tyreek Hill's hands type of deal and let them go, right? But there are other times where the talent is not so overwhelming, and that this is where you've got to figure out how to be a tactician, how to create plays to get these guys open, how to confuse the coordinator, whether it's with motion or formation or whatever it might be. And this is where I think if for 2024 purposes only, if they're going to have, if this offense is going to thrive, I can't just assume that, you know, Jaden Daniels looks like the second coming from day one. So this is Cliff Kingsbury having to figure out ways to turn these guys into more of a well-oiled machine. Like, they'll say that they've got, you know, receiver talent. Okay, I don't disagree to an extent, but, you know, Deami Brown seems, until we see otherwise, seems like a one-dimensional deep threat. You know, Zacchaeus, based on his career, it's hard to say, boy, this guy's an every down slot receiver that you're going to rely on. You know, Luke McCaffrey still learning as a rookie. Noah Brown, you know, for all the talk we've given over the last few weeks, other than like a 2 week stretch last year, it's not like he's been a prolific receiver, but he does help you as a blocker. So how do you know when to use these guys? How do you put them, you know, take advantage of what they do? And the same thing applies to the tight end room and to a certain extent Robinson and Eckler, even though their talent's more obvious, but still, how do you take advantage of them so the other team isn't just putting eight in the box or whatever? So I think that, to me, is why this is such a big deal. Sure, he's got to help Jaden Daniels develop. We get that. They've got 87 people in the building to help with that to an extent. They have one guy calling the plays, and he's got to not only obviously design some interesting stuff, but he'll have to, like I said, really scheme this offense to have significant success, at least until the point Jaden Daniels shows his presence, the way the best quarterbacks show, is camouflage other deficiencies.
Talking to Ben Standig. All right. Just give me your best guesses on a couple of things. Who are the receivers that end up taking the field and getting snaps Sunday after Terry?
It's really weird. I can't believe how hard this is of a question, like to know what to do. I mean, look, I think Deami's deep threat ability meshes perfectly with what Jaden Daniels has shown. He's willing to go down the field. He's got really good accuracy that we've seen throughout the summer. And, that's going to be the best guy they have to, try to take the top off a defense. But Zacchaeus has had a tremendous is probably overstating it, but like he had a really good summer, and that's partly why they felt comfortable moving on from Jahan Dotson. And then, like I said, Noah Brown, how comfortable he is with the playbook, I don't know, but we as a physical receiver, he's going to give them a presence on the perimeter as a blocker, and that's something they're going to look for both to help in the run game and also for camouflage. So my guess is those are the top three in some order. Luke McCaffrey is the wild card for me. It is weird that in the unofficial depth chart, he's listed ahead of Deami Brown. I'm not really putting much stock into that at all because those depth charts have historically been unreliable. But nonetheless, I do feel like he's the wild card. And I don't know how quickly it is he's going to be able to do much. He didn't show a ton this summer, but we know that they were hiding a lot because that's what they do. And, he's only, 2 years into his wide receiver career after switching from quarterback. So he's a prospect on the rise, but with a lot of interesting talent, the bloodlines, we get that. So I don't know off the bat how quickly he gets in. So I think the other three are the most likely to be the big receivers. But, I won't be surprised if we see Robinson and Eckler get moved out, in Moj into receiver, whether it's leaving an empty backfield or whatever. So I think they'll find ways to get those guys used out there as well.
Yeah, I think that makes a lot of sense. I mean, I can definitely see if they go empty set, which they got to be careful against this defense, unless it's all, kind of screen oriented, one of the backs being part of that. You've already kind of answered the Coleman, the left tackle situation. Outside corners, is it Davis and St. Juice to start? Where does Forbes fit in?
Yeah, when we talked to Joe Witt, not this week, but a couple weeks ago, he was talking about how, Mikey Sanders still there trying to use him a bit more in camp on the outside in two receiver sets. Don't know if that's a plan you're going to go with when Mike Evans is one of the receivers on the other team to have a 5'9" and change corner against a, NBA swingman-sized wide receiver. But, I think Sanders still is going to be high in the rotation, one way or the other. He'll probably be the slot guy, as we know, if nothing else. I'm very intrigued to see Forbes. He may be the player I'm most interested in seeing it in terms of, we just haven't, we don't know what's going to happen. Obviously, last year was a bit of a mess. There were signs of progress this year. Dan Quinn said that he thought that Miami week, both the joint practice and the game, was a real step up for Forbes, and we know about the playmaking ability that he showed in college, and this is a coaching staff that is really going to emphasize that. And the key is going to be, how do they, integrate the pass rushing, the blitzing coming from all over the place with the secondary. If they can get those pass rush angles and put Baker Mayfield into a situation where he doesn't quite know where the ball, where the pressure is coming from, then maybe this is where they can get – obviously, they have to get pressure, but maybe this is where some of the corners can jump routes, and this is maybe where Forbes gets back to looking like what people thought when coming in. But that said, I'm not going to assume that until I see it. And Mike Evans is a beast. Chris Godwin is really good. So, St. Juice, Davis, Forbes. I think St. Juice. I would start the other two, including, and then with Sanders still, It probably just depends on what they think Tampa's going to show, but they'll all be out there to some degree.
Who are the primary pass rushers going to be in obvious pass situations, you know, second and long, third and long?
Yeah, I mean, I think Dorrance Armstrong will be out there a fair amount. Frankie Louvu, again, yep. We haven't seen a ton of this, but this is the expectation that he's going to be a guy that lines up plenty on the edge, whether it's as a wide nine or as more of the probably the early down, and then we'll see how much he's out there. When you look at that guy, he just looks like he should be getting 10 sacks a year, and obviously hasn't quite been there, but, you know, he looks the part physically. So, yeah, I think that's going to be really interesting. Joe Witt said that because of the heat, he expects, like, for the defensive tackles to rotate, you know, Allen and Payne and the other tackles to keep them fresh while keeping at least Allen or Payne on the field at all times. So I kind of feel like the same here with, like, Armstrong and Louvu would be my guess. Like, at every point, one of them is probably going to be out there is my guess. But, you know, it's going to be a hot day to start the year, so they're going to try to keep these guys fresh. They do, of course, have a bunch of edge options and tackle. It's a little bit thinner if Newton doesn't go, but, you know, Armstrong can dip inside on some passing downs as well.
Do you have a hunch on any kind of surprise in week one, like, you know, a player that plays more or a player that plays less or, you know, anything that you think you've kind of got a strong feeling about that maybe would surprise people?
I guess the one thing, this is the least sexy option I could possibly give you, but I'm interested to see how much John Bates plays, because when he plays, it's probably going to mean 12 personnel, two tight ends. Yep. And if that's happening, then that means less, you know, three and four receivers, which is a Cliff Kingsbury staple from the past. But they really like Bates' blocking. They're obviously probably going to need help at tackle, right? So, you know, in pass protection. So I could think Bates out there, and that'll, again, dictate what they do. I just don't know if it's going to be, you know, 50-50 or percentage, or if it's going to be, you know, a lot less. But I'm really intrigued to see what Bates does, because I think it's going to say a lot about how Cliff Kingsbury is going to attack at least this game, if not the early part of the season.
I think that's a good one. I think they like him a lot. I think they think he's more versatile and not a bad pass catcher either. But yes, if he's in the game, it's two or perhaps, who knows, maybe three tight end sets where they're truly trying to run the football with the quarterback or with the running back. All right. Time for you to be on the record for the season. What's your record prediction? And then give me kind of what Denton and I did earlier. We gave a few of them. You only have to give one of them. I need a bold footnote, a bold prediction to go with the record.
Okay. So, you know, I've been pretty consistent. You know, the Vegas line is like 6.5 wins. And, you know, maybe it's just because I'm constantly feel like I'm having to slow the roll a little bit about, you know, extreme optimism.
You want me to slow the roll. Go ahead and say it.
You know, you're one of the people. You know, look, you're the voice of the people. But the other variable, though, is the schedule, right? You got to look at who they're playing. And, I think I'm right, because we were talking about this the other day offline. You know, they are now favored in a couple more games than I think they were earlier on. And then also, like, some of the lines are pretty tight, because obviously they've got a last-place schedule. So, you know, we'll see. I think there's more opportunities, I guess, for the other teams to have their own issues and just simply saying Washington isn't there yet. And the one thing I think that gives me hope, if you want to see a year where they even maybe get a winning record, is just that this positive vibes out here, that may just be it by itself. The positivity, the extra effort that comes with it, maybe that gives them enough to get that extra win or two. So I'll go 7-10. That's about as good as I can probably go.
Well, you've been 6-11.
Yeah, so okay. Do you want me to say 6-11?
You started by saying, you know, I'm going to be consistent, and you let the good vibes that you've been around kind of influence you with an additional win, which is fine. You're on the record at 7-10.
Yeah, it's not so much. I haven't changed my thought here. It's just that when I look at the schedule, like, you know, that's the thing. Whenever we talk about this team or any team that you're focusing on, it's always focusing on just that team. But when you broaden the scope to, well, okay, they actually have opponents, what's going on there? And, of course, it's impossible to predict what's going to look like in November and December, but that's the point. The other teams have their own issues, and they have a lot of guys who are, you know, a lot of other teams that are going to be picked towards the league's bottom. So, yeah, so I'll be optimistic and go 7-10. But yeah, it's right there on the line. I just thought that, to me, that's the ceiling.
Well, give me your bold footnote, bold prediction for the year.
Oh boy. Well, you know, I'll say Brian Robinson. It's not, I don't know if it's a bold, but Brian Robinson goes over 1,000 yards against 10 touchdowns. I think he is positioned to have a big year, you know, barring injury. Again, when you don't have the receiving playmakers on that they have, and you have a rookie quarterback, you've got to find ways to balance that out, protect it. On top of the fact that I just think Robinson, to me, it looks like he's ready to go. I think he's been ready to have a bigger year the last few years, but just the offense as a whole has been a bit of a mess. I think it'll be a cleaner plan this year, and I think it's one that's going to give Brian Robinson every opportunity to thrive. So over 1,000 yards and 10 touchdowns.
Well, yours is bold, but it's not as bold as mine. My number one bold prediction is that Brian Robinson Jr. is going to rush for 1,200 yards and have 50-plus catches and be a Pro Bowler. That's bold.
Okay.
That's bold. Look, you going 1,000 yards and 10 touchdowns, it would be his best year of his career, but it's not as bold as mine.
Well, in fairness, I didn't. If I had thought to add receivers, I've been saying I think he and Eckler both get over 40 catches. So, you know, I'll tack that in there as well. But I'll give you the 15 touchdowns.
Give me your Sunday final score prediction.
Yeah, well, this is where my, you know, sort of reality check maybe comes in a bit. Again, it's so many mysteries here. We really don't know exactly what this group is going to do simultaneously. Tampa Bay has a new offensive coordinator and Liam Cohen, former McVay guy.
Yeah.
Joe Witt was saying yesterday, like, hey, you know, we don't quite know. We've gone back and looked at, you know, are we going to get a Sean McVay offense? Are we going to get something Cohen did at the University of Kentucky, and so on. So that's a mystery. But I, you know, Tampa Bay is the veteran team here. It's at, you know, it's in their place, the season opener. I'll go Tampa Bay 23-16.
Yeah, you know, Kingsbury said something yesterday in his presser, and I'll read it because for whatever reason, they didn't put the audio out there. He was asked about, and I don't know who asked this, maybe it was you, on this being his first game back in the NFL in a few years, and he said, yeah, I mean, we drew one of the toughest defenses in the league, Tampa Bay Bucks head coach. He said, Coach Bowles has been one of the top defensive minds in football for a long time, and him having a whole off season to prepare for this one always makes a tough challenge, but it'll be fun. I've just been really appreciative of this opportunity, yada, yada, yada. But that is a big part of how you should view Sunday's game, along with something I mentioned last hour, and that is not only is Bowles always, he's always been one of the top defensive minds in football, he's got his entire defense back. And they played really well at the end of last year. And they absolutely made Philadelphia look impotent in that playoff game with their pressures and their schemes. Now, Philadelphia was in, you know, free fall. There was a whole lot of dissension with respect to, you know, Jalen Hurts not getting enough from the coordinator and the head coach to handle a lot of that blitz pressure. But to me, that's a big part of Sunday is, you know, is Jaden Daniels in his first game ready for the pressure that they're going to scheme up and bring? And the key to that, I think, Ben, as I said earlier, you got to stay out of third and long, second and long. That's a huge key to this game.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, just, you know, I'm optimistic about Jaden Daniels. Obviously we don't see everything, but from what I've seen and been around him and talked to him, I've just been impressed with what I've seen on the field, what I've seen off the field. Everybody around the building seems to say the same. So it's not so much, yeah, it's more about, you know, we don't view Tampa Bay as winning a division title 3 years in a row because their overall record isn't that exciting, but that's the reality. This is a team that has won the division 3 years in a row. So as a first opponent, and like you said, defense is going to be a big deal for them. I just think that it probably could be a bit too much. And my other concern is, you know, Mike Evans against that secondary, he's ripe for a big day. And if Washington starts getting behind, then I think it's just going to make things more complicated against that defense.
Thank you. Talk Monday. Enjoy the game.
Yeah, man. Have a good one. See you.
Ben Standig, everybody. My smell test next. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980, theteam980.com. Don't forget, you can download our app, the Odyssey app. Take us wherever you go and listen to us whenever you want.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
I feel
bathroom?
Like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything
taken
care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Can you smell it? It's time for the smell test.
Do you smell something?
We look where John Q. Public is putting their cash.
Trust me, you just gotta get past the smell.
And go the other way.
Can you feel it? Can you smell it?
Kevin's smell test on the Team 980.
All right, this is my 19th year doing the smell test on radio, and then for the last 6 years, radio and podcast. The 18 seasons that I've done it, I've got 13 winning seasons and 5 losing seasons documented. The 13 winning seasons, there have been some big years. The biggest year I ever had, I hit on 64.8% of my plays. And the worst losing season was hitting on 48.6% of the plays. So it was close to 50-50. Those of you who bet understand, and I do too, that you need to be better than 50-50. You got to come in at around 52.6%. If you're playing the same amount on every game and you're getting charged minus 110, somewhere in that area on losses, to win money. I am counting a winning season as a winning record and a losing season as a losing record. Overall, 13 winning seasons, 5 losing seasons. 2 years ago, I was plus 16 units at 184-3. Last year, I went 96-89-8, so plus 7 units on the year. Last week, 2-3 to start off, and I will promise you, because I tell you when it could have been better and when it could have been worse. If I had ended up giving out every single game that was a possibility when I started putting my smell test together on Wednesday, Thursday, it would have been a bloodbath week. So I got very lucky putting out just 5 games and going 2-3, because there were sides like Clemson and West Virginia that were very close to being smell test picks. Fortunately, they were not. So 2-3 to start. So 2-3 on the year. This is a long game, people. Let's get to this week. And it's one of those weeks where they're just, and it's week 2. Week 1 always, you know, has me a little bit hesitant, which is probably why I pulled back a little bit on some of those games, because some of the overwhelming public action is from a lot of off-season betting as well. So you try to get the numbers on what they are leading up to the game from people who are more regular bettors, and you try to find the sharp action as well. By the way, let me just reiterate for those of you that don't know what the smell test is. For 19 years, I've basically been giving out plays that are contrarian, anti-public, combined with understanding where that public money really is, not taking it off of a website, because they all use that stuff now, but actually talking to legitimate sports books and getting that information, and also identifying where the sharp money is. And a lot of it is just kind of me understanding, after so many years of doing this, which games the public really does love and which ones the sharps in the house believe that they are going to be totally wrong on. A lot of times what you'll see with me is I'll have a game, at least on Friday, and it changes over the weekend, where, you know, it's clear that the public is lined up on one side, and yet the sports books are either making it more advantageous for them to keep betting that same side, or they leave the line right where it is, and they don't account at all for the public action, which tells you they don't mind having an actual side in the game. Those are the games I look for. And there are plenty of them this weekend. And there are, yes, a lot in college football, and more in college than there are in the pros. Of course, there are more college games to pick from. Let's start in the 12 o'clock window tomorrow. I don't have anything tonight. And I don't have anything tonight in the NFL either. So Pitt last week beat Kent 55-24. They actually were struggling in that game a little bit. And Cincinnati was unimpressive as a 37-point favorite in beating Towson 38-20. There's some hope for Pitt this year, in terms of their preview prior to the season starting. Cincinnati's laying 2 in this game, and the public is pounding Pitt. The sharp money continues to be on Cincy. Don't be surprised if this game goes off at 2.5 or 3. It's at 2 right now. I play the Friday lines. That hurts me sometimes. It helps me sometimes. Cincinnati minus the 2. Michigan on general principle tomorrow, boys and girls, plus the 7. That number is back to 7. It was at 7.5. The world is on Texas tomorrow. After, you know, recent impressions really mean a lot to public bettors. Michigan did not look that good in their win over Fresno. Texas looked great. There's this feeling that Michigan isn't very good this year, you know, after losing their coaching, or, you know, certainly Jim Harbaugh and J.J. McCarthy and their backfield just overall. I love Michigan plus the 7 in the big house against Texas. Another early window game. Denton talked about this in his college football preview. Georgia Tech's got 2 wins, including a win over Florida State to open up the year. And people have been talking up Georgia Tech here with their start. Brent Key's doing a really good job there. They're playing at Syracuse. Syracuse ended up with a win over Georgia State last week. The line is super short. Georgia Tech's a 3-point favorite. Public loves the Rambling Wreck. I'll take Syracuse plus the 3. Denton talked about Iowa and Iowa State. This game at Kinnick, the total's 35. The point spread right now is Iowa laying 3. Iowa State, you know, opened up with a win over North Dakota. That's not even North Dakota State. That's North Dakota. Iowa last week blew out Illinois State. I'm not a big fan of Cade McNamara, but this is a game. It's real simple. The public loves Iowa. They probably think Iowa will win the game, you know, 24-0, 24-3. The line's very short. I'll take Iowa State plus the 3 in Iowa City. Here's one of the heavily bet games of the week so far in terms of one-sided action. Auburn last week opened up with a 73-3 win, but it was over Alabama A&M, okay? Cal, in the meantime, opened up with a win over UC Davis. The line's under 2 touchdowns and now is down to 12.5. I'd love to have 13.5, be able to buy it to 14, but the best number I can find taking Cal plus the points is 12.5. Give me the Bears. Bear down. Cal plus 12.5 at Auburn. Florida International is playing Central Michigan. Central Michigan's been an offensive juggernaut here a little bit. They scored last week 66 in their win over Central Connecticut State. They're playing in this game Florida International and laying a short number. I'll take FIU plus the 6 at home against Central Michigan. We talked about NC State and Tennessee. The line's actually kind of working in the wrong direction for me. But there's a lot of public action on Tennessee in this game in Charlotte against a Wolfpack team that didn't look good in the opener. I'll take State plus the 10. Oklahoma destroyed Temple. Houston got destroyed by UNLV. UNLV was a smell test pick last week. I like Houston plus the 28. The public thinks Oklahoma is going to destroy Houston. Texas Tech's getting 2 at Washington State. Texas Tech had to hang on for dear life against Abilene Christian in double overtime. They won 52-51. They're only getting 2 at Washington State. I'll take Texas Tech plus the 2 there. San Diego State plus 6 at Oregon State is the anti-public and the sharp side, as is South Florida getting 31 in Tuscaloosa against Bama. Bama, really impressive, not against anybody good in their opener, winning 63-0. I like USF plus 31. That's a lot of plays. I understand that on Saturday. Let's go to Sunday, where there are a couple that really just fit. It's week one. I understand. I don't love week one in the NFL. But the world's on Minnesota against the Giants laying 1.5. Everybody thinks Daniel Jones is terrible and the Giants should be getting more points. I'll take the Giants at home plus 1.5. Carolina's getting 4 at New Orleans. This is one of the most heavily bet public sides of the day. Betting the Saints, that line has sat at 3.5-4 pretty much for the duration. I'll take the Panthers plus the 4. Love Indy tomorrow getting 3 against Houston. This is another massively bet public team off of last year. The Colts starting, you know, Anthony Richardson. They've got a good roster. I think Shane Steichen's good. I was an Anthony Richardson fan early in that senior year in Florida, but realized he had a long way to go as a drop-back passer. You know, this was a guy that came in and everybody said, he needs a year. He needs to learn how to throw from the pocket. He played in 4 games last year, then got hurt. Apparently, during some of these preseason games and some of these joint practices, he did not look like he had made progress as an in-the-pocket passer. But it doesn't matter. Everybody's betting Houston. I'll take Indy plus the 3. And then the last one is a hold-your-noser. The biggest public bet team of the entire slate on Sunday is Cincinnati laying now 8 at home against New England. That line was higher. It's now down to 8. There is sharp money on New England. I don't know enough about either side of the ball in Foxborough. It's a new coach in Gerard Mayo. They have defensive talent. But on general principle, I'm going to take the Patriots plus the 8 because no one else will bet the Patriots this week. And every sports book in America will need the Patriots to cover. So it's a lot of games for the combined first week of the season, college and pro. Recapping, Cincinnati tomorrow, laying 2 against Pitt, Michigan plus 7 against Texas, Syracuse plus 3 at home against Georgia Tech, Iowa State plus 3 at Iowa, Cal plus 12.5 at Auburn, Florida International plus 6 against Central Michigan, NC State plus 10, neutral site, Charlotte against Tennessee, Houston plus 28 in Norman against Oklahoma, Texas Tech plus 2 at Washington State, San Diego State plus 6 against Oregon State, that's at San Diego State, and then USF plus 31 in Tuscaloosa against Alabama. On Sunday, the Giants plus 1.5, the Panthers plus 4, New England plus 8. I just gave you the three worst teams in the league based on most power rankings. It's going to happen. You're going to have to suck it up. That's what the smell test is all about. It's not just that the line reeks. Sometimes the team you're betting on stinks to high heaven too. And sometimes it doesn't work. But I'm going to continue to hit 16 against a 10. Sorry, it's basic strategy. And the Colts plus 3 against Houston. We will post those on the Team 980 website a little bit later on in the day. All right, Denton and I will have Washington Tampa Bay predictions, final score with a couple of thoughts on the matchup when we come back. Kevin Sheehan Show, if you want to weigh in, we'll open up phone lines, 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. Final score prediction with a footnote if you want to weigh in on Sunday's game. We'll be back after this. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980 and the Team980.com.
Major League Baseball, Nats fall to the Pirates 9-4. Jake Irvin pitched 5 innings, allowing 6 runs on 7 hits with 4 Ks. Game 2 of that series tonight in Pittsburgh at 6:40. DJ Hertz on the mound for the Nationals. In the NFL, Kansas City takes down Baltimore in the opener 27-20. Mahomes goes for 291, a touchdown and a pick through the air. Lamar goes for 273 and a touchdown. He also had 122 yards on the ground on 16 carries. You can watch Francis Tiafoe tonight at 7 in the U.S. Open semis. He's taking on fellow American Taylor Fritz. He's the 12th ranked, Tiafoe the 20th ranked. The winner obviously goes to the final. On the women's side, Jessica Pegula going to play in the final on Saturday. Commanders news, Dan Quinn spoke to the media just a little bit ago. He named the captains for this weekend. It'll be Terry McLaurin, Jeremy Reeves, and Clelin Ferrell this weekend against Tampa. And that's what's trending.
The most exciting season opener in team history was in 2012. And there have been some memorable season openers in franchise history. In 82, Washington went to Philadelphia as a big underdog and beat the Eagles 37-34 in overtime. Mosley, who was fighting for his job, kicked a 49-yarder to force overtime and then kicked a field goal in OT to win it against the heavily favored Eagles. It turned out to be the game that propelled them, even though there was a strike in between, but it was a huge indicator of what they would be. And that year they were Super Bowl champions. But the 2012 season opener with RG3 as a rookie playing in his first game was shocking. You know, he threw for 310. He rushed for 40-something yards, had the 88-yarder to Pierre Garçon, and it was shock and awe. Shock and awe. I mean, Lavero that week on the show predicted shock and awe, and said Griffin's going to be great and Washington's going to beat New Orleans. And they did, and they were a big underdog in that game, and they won that game 40-32. I do not see 40 points for Washington on Sunday. But I do see a very competitive close game. Week one, we just have to come in here on Monday, regardless of what the result is, and understand it's a head fake much of the time, and you cannot come to any conclusions on one game in the NFL, especially when you're talking about two teams like Tampa and Washington. In Washington's case, the first game with a lot of new.
The other teams got a lot of old, and they're back, and they're I wouldn't say they're stacked, but they've got good coaching, and they've got really good players on defense and a couple of really good players on offense. I think this is a loss in the opener. I'm not going to be deterred, even if it's an ugly loss. But I like Tampa 24-21 on Sunday in a close, competitive game that Washington's got a chance in. I think the game will go over the total. That's a Washington cover, by the way, plus the 3.5. It's not a smell test pick. I don't even think I'll play it. But I like Tampa 24-21 in a game in which we come in here and we feel good about it. But again, there's no reason to get wrapped up in anything based on what we see on Sunday, unless there is a serious injury, which we hope doesn't happen. 24-21 Tampa. I'm going to go with them having all of their players back, an experienced staff, and a really good feeling based on the way they ended last year, which was on a roll and winning a playoff game and having Detroit, you know, in trouble in the fourth quarter in a 17-17 game in the postseason. 24-21 Tampa. What do you got, Denton?
I think Monday is going to be much more exciting because I think there's going to be a lot more offense scored from the Commanders' side of the ball. I understand they're going up against a good defense coached by a really good coach in Todd Bowles, but I'm excited for Jaden Daniels, and you're going to see a little bit of explosiveness with this offense that we have not seen in quite some time. So I'm going to go Washington. I'm going to say 31-27. They beat Tampa, but I think they have a little bit of issues on defense corralling, specifically the guy that wears 1-3 on his chest for the Bucs.
That would be Mike Evans. You know, my footnote to this game would be that Jaden Daniels rushes for 50-plus yards on at least 9 rushing attempts. That'll be a combined scramble, designed, option runs, but that he rushes for 50-plus yards. I don't even know if that's bold. It's just a footnote. 301-230-0980 if you want to weigh in. Final score prediction Sunday in the opener and a footnote. Let's go to Jumbo. Jumbo, go ahead, man.
Hey, good afternoon, guys. I'm going to say 23-17 Buccaneers. I think we'll miss a field goal, not like a game time, but just on a special teams note. But I think the very first offensive play, they should send De'Ami Brown deep, fast, he can go, whether it's a pick, interception, touchdown, or incomplete. I think they should try to do something like that the very first play.
Yeah, stretch it out. We'll see. I mean, why not? Let's see Daniels do what he did so well at the college level, which is throw the deep ball. We saw it to De'Ami Brown just in the preseason game. Thanks, Jumbo. Let's get Samaj in here and before we get out. Samaj, go ahead. Final score with a footnote.
Hey, Coach. Thanks for taking my call. Hey, Denton, real quick. Coach, you was right on my coattails, buddy. So I'm going 24-20 Bucks. The Berg and Gold lose a close one on the road. My footnote is to answer a question from yours back in the midsummer, right at the start of training camp, and that was the type of offense we would like to see. I'd like to see a bit of the old Shanahan, Kubiak hybrid offense. I would like to see us use Jaden a lot of the ways like they used Denver and Elway back in the day and that offense in Houston, and here when we had RG3. I think that offense, some type of hybrid format, would go great with Jaden's skill package. Thanks for taking my call, fellas. You have a great weekend.
Samaj, interesting point, because I actually think a lot of what the Shanahan offense is, and I'm not talking about the Shanahan 2012 offense with RG3. I'm talking about a lot of zone run, a lot of bootleg, a lot of play action off of that. I think he would run perfectly. A lot of that includes being under center, though, you know, and turning your back to the defense on play action. So I don't think we're going to see a lot of that because I think he's more comfortable in the shotgun, and I think that we're going to see him in gun a lot. But would it surprise me if there's some under center with some runs, with some zone runs with Brian Robinson Jr. and with play action and bootleg off of it? No, it wouldn't. Can't wait for Sunday. Can't wait for this weekend. We got a game tonight. Philly and Green Bay. Big game for the Eagles, you know, for an opener. I mean, that was a bad taste they left in the mouths of Philadelphia fans at the end of last year. Thanks to Ben. Thanks to all of you. Denton did a great job. Back on Monday with our recap of the season opener. Chris Russell's up next.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.